Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. You know I'm not the little boy that I used to be. I'm all grown up now, baby, can't you see? Stacy's mom has got it going on. She's all I want, and I've waited for so long. Stacy, can't you see? You're just not the girl for me. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Stacy's mom. He was named a preseason first team All-SEC selection.
That one is ripped into the right field corner. It's down, it's up off the fence. And Moore's going to race to second base. And if he stops, he's got the cycle. How about that? Robert Moore clears the bases, and he's hit for the cycle.
He's got one of the best bat flips in all of college baseball.
And he touches that one. That is a no-doubter. As he bat flips it, and it is out of here.
And he's turning double plays and talking about the Diamond Hogs on The Buzz. It's time to talk with Razorback second baseman Robert Moore. Brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin, Arkansas's largest independently owned jewelry store. Visit one of their five statewide locations, either in Pine Bluff, Little Rock, Jonesboro, Memphis, or Conway. Online at sissyslogcabin.com. And now, here's Robert Moore.
Good morning, Robert. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Man, great to have you on. We had the pleasure. We got me, Roger, Justin Moore, and RJ Hawk here in studio. Justin's actually at his home in Poland. But Roger and I got a chance to come up and watch the Omaha game, Robert. It was, Roger, your first time.
First time there in the stadium to watch a ball game, for sure, yeah. And when it, at fourth inning, I'm going, Jiminy Christmas, man, did I come up here to the first game? It's going to be jinxed or whatever. Then you come to the plate and you switch hit. And
it was down 0-2. It was down 0-2.
Yeah, down 0-2. You get on it.
Bases loaded.
It was 0-2. That's right.
Yeah, on its way back and got
and
to walk.
You will walk. That's what it was. That's what it was. But I don't know, Robert, if you've told us before that you were a switch hitter. I never saw it. I never heard it on here. I don't know what it was, but I looked at that and I thought, look at him out there. And I got to be honest with you, I've said it on here since then. I thought you were taller. I had no idea.
You, tell me how tall you are.
Well, I'm 5'8 on my license, is what it is. But when I saw that, I thought you were a big unit out there with all the everybody else is 6 feet tall. And I go, but you know what? I love the fact that you came out there and you were the man.
Yeah, I've never been 6 feet before. I don't know how that one would feel.
Well, I'll tell you this:
I know the feeling, brother.
That's just Justin, Robert. We were looking at the lineup, and you guys do have some big dudes. You know, in that game against Omaha, you know, your starter was 6'4", your first reliever was 6'6", and if you look up and down the lineup, and some of the signees for this year 6'3", 6'3". I do sort of have to laugh when, you know, the best power hitter on the team last year was you at your size. So it doesn't always have to be the biggest guy that you can be just as productive. And one thing I noticed, too, about your batting average so far this year, your time at bat, you're batting around .315, but you have 6 doubles through 10 games. You only had 10 doubles all of last year in 61 games. Is there any reason for that? Or just one of those quirky things?
You know what? I don't know the best way to explain it. You know, some years you get more cookies and you hit more balls out of the ballpark. Some years, you know, you hit more balls down the line. It's just kind of one of those things. If you played, I don't know, 4 seasons of college baseball, your stats are going to look a little bit different every single year.
Sure.
But, I could easily, if I started this thing again next year, I could have 6 triples and 0 doubles.
Sure.
It's just kind of a weird thing like that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of somebody getting hot. I know when that happened with you, and then I think after you, I can't be completely sure, but I remember Lanzilli coming up and hitting a double and bringing in runs. That all happened about the fourth or fifth inning when we were up there at Omaha. Now you
it was tough. It was a tight game, and then it ended up being a blowout, 15-3. Yeah,
until then, and when I'm looking at his stats, and I'm looking, he was like a buck and a half, maybe. A hitter at that time, and I'm going, you know what? It just takes keep working at it.
Yeah. Those midweek games, truthfully, they always are a little tight early on, and then the opposing team, especially the smaller conference teams, they run out pitching in their midweek games, and then you start to see fifth, sixth, seventh inning, the game starts breaking open a little bit more, kind of like we saw in Omaha.
But,
that's just kind of how those midweek games go, and they'll probably continue to go similar to like that the rest of the year, where they're tight early, and then we just start running away with them late.
I tell you what we've been able to see, too, in these first few games, some great freshman talent. You know, one was Austin Ledbetter, who was a Saline County kid. He had a Bryant last year, came in and had a good outing the other day. It's nice to see that young talent delivers on the mound for the Hogs.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Austin had a great fall and a great spring, and he was just kind of itching for his opportunity, and he got it, and he took advantage of it. And because of that, he's going to be trusted with another opportunity. So, you can't win as a program unless your freshmen step up big for you, and it's good to see another one step up.
I know that you guys have bad weather coming in, I guess any day now, I guess the next day or two, and you've got four games with UIC Thursday through Sunday. How difficult, we laughed about it. I think I threw out a temperature you sort of laughed at because you were down at, in Texas and it was cold down there. What's your sort of cutoff where you can go, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to be able to function out here as a baseball player?
You know what? I was saying that the other day, if we didn't have those big heaters in the dugout in Round Rock, I don't know if we'd be able to play. I think probably around 30, 32, 35 degrees when you can't feel your hands and you got to go hit.
Yeah.
That's when it gets a little difficult.
Make no mistake, Baz, when the ump says play ball, it could be minus 10 and they're going to go out there and play.
But you're going to be miserable doing it. Yeah. What is the cutoff for? I mean, what is the? Is there a particular degree, or is it just a feel for the umpires to say, okay, or the coaches, it's too cold?
Usually, a good cutoff is if the field is in bad shape because of the weather.
Gotcha.
So, for example, if we have some snow going, and the next day that there's ice all around the field, that's going to be hard to play in. But as far as weather goes, it's probably just whatever both sides agree to play in. If they look at the weather and it's going to be nice the next day, they'll just decide to play two the next day. So it varies every single time. But I would say it's more concerned about how playable the field is in.
Hey, Robert, to the fans who are – I don't know if concerned is the right word, but you guys have not gotten off to the hot start that you did last year. But could you talk to the opponents that you guys have faced? Because as Coach pointed out, you guys, they may not be the big name teams that you've played so far like you do in the SEC outside of, the Texas tournament. But you guys have played some really mature, older ball clubs that are really good teams that, the folks wouldn't maybe, again, know their names. But y'all played really, really good competition. I just wonder if you could speak on that a little bit.
Well, I would start off by saying that baseball isn't football and it's not basketball. So in football, if you have Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, you're probably going to win every game because you're more talented. In basketball, if you have LeBron James, you're probably going to win just about every game because you're more talented. Baseball is a sport where it takes nine players, and if a pitcher is dominant that day, it's going to be tough to win. So I would start off by saying that. And I would also start off by saying that I think last year we started off the year 12-3 or 12-4 before we headed into conference play. Right now we're 7-3. If we win our next couple, we'd be in the same situation going into the conference as we did last year. And last year's team also started conference playoff losing 16-1 to Alabama.
Yeah.
So baseball isn't always sunshine and rainbows, but the most important thing is that you win series. So the better teams always win series. The better teams may not always win that day,
right,
but the better teams win series. That's why when you go down the stretch, we're not like the March Madness tournament in college basketball where it's one and done. It's series, okay? So we'd be NC State 21-2.
Yep.
Well, you still got to win one more. NC State was a better team, so they won the series. So as long as we keep winning series, I think we're in a good position.
Yeah, we talked about earlier, you guys haven't lost one yet. So
let's continue to to do that.
Yeah. Correct.
We're visiting with Robert Moore, brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. You know, one of the things, you know, we mentioned that we were up there last week to watch the game. I guess it was it Wednesday? I guess it was Wednesday. It was a beautiful day. The weather was perfect, Robert. And one of the things it was I enjoyed, because we had done a show segment on this the week before last about walk-up songs. And we went through almost all the walk-up songs by you guys, and it was interesting to hear, because I think you had told us that yours was "Hello, My Name Is" by Matthew West. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I was when I was up there, I was a team captain, and I was president of FCA when I was up there a long time ago, Robert. And I got much respect for, you know, a lot of songs you could choose, but you decided to do something that's reflective of your faith. And I just, you know, and I had somebody send a couple messages. Hey, we see Robert in church on a regular basis. And we really hadn't talked to you much about that, but just want to give you a chance to maybe just reflect about, you know, your ability, you have a platform there and your ability to share what your faith is about.
Well, there's multiple ways I can go with that. I would start off by saying, you know, we have unbelievable support from not only the university, but the local church. And, you know, we have support from a brand new church in Farmington and Cross Church here in Fayetteville. And we have a team Bible study that Luke Harper runs, who's the college ministry pastor at Cross Church. And then Shannon O'Dell at brand new church. His church has blessed every single one of our team members with Bibles, and then a book by Rick Warren called The Purpose Driven
Life.
Sure,
you bet.
We're unbelievable thankful to those guys for helping us out. And you know, we're just a group of college players, ages 18 to 24, some 25, that you know, a lot of us just trying to figure out life. And one way we're trying to do that is just grow in faith. And you know, if you got to develop three things every day: your mind, your body, and your spirit, most importantly. So I would say that's been a big priority in our team, in our locker room, and with the players that we have the past I would say year and a half. So the walk-up songs, when it comes to that, you know, it's just kind of a, you know, I like that song because it's like an introduction. So you get walked up to the play, it's like an introduction. That song's kind of like an introduction.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, my name isn't Robert Moore. My name is the Child of the One True King. So that's what I like about that song.
Yeah, good stuff, Robert. Good stuff. Glad you shared that. I did want to ask, too, if we take another trip up there, I want to see, because this is an NIL kind of deal we've got going on, Robert. You know, you're sponsored by Sissy's Log Cabin.
Right.
If we come up to see another game in the near future, would you be comfortable, because we talked about this on the first call, would you be comfortable if we paid you whatever your fee is to cut our hair? What would you be comfortable would you be willing to do that first? We're willing to put our hair in your hands.
Well, Basil is anyways.
Would you be willing to do that? Are you comfortable in doing that?
I would be comfortable doing that. I don't know if you guys would be.
Well, if I tell you, listen, if I tell you that I want three all the way around on the sides and then use your little fingers to put my hair up to match that up top with the scissors, can you do that?
I can only do one haircut. It's called a skin fade, and I can fade it down the skin, and that's about it.
Okay, well, listen.
You know what? I'm willing to do that. I don't have much hair left.
If you're willing to do it, Robert, the next trip we come up there to watch, we'll come up and broadcast the show either the next morning or the day before, whichever. And if it works with your schedule, if it doesn't, we won't do it. But if it works with your schedule, we'll pay you to cut our hair, and you can do the fade on us.
Basil, pay you.
Now, two of us are older. You know, me and Roger are 58.
My hair's thin, and there's not a lot of it there.
Justin and Roger are young. They're in their late 30s.
Justin and RJ.
What'd I say?
Roger.
I'm sorry. Justin and RJ.
I should have taken it.
Yes, are in their late 30s. So it would be really edgy for us to do this fade thing you're talking about.
Can you do a faux hawk?
Yeah. I don't know if you can do it. I don't know if mine would be the fade. What'd you call the fade again?
What'd you call it, Robert?
It's called a skin fade.
Skin fade. We got to Google that, Roger.
Yeah,
we got to Google
it. I don't know if you could say that on the radio.
I think we should also take some BP.
I was actually thinking about that. We'll swap off. Let me take a couple of swings for you. We'll talk to Coach.
Well, Robert, Justin's the only one I think that's healthy enough to swing a bat from this show, I think. So,
hey, listen, Robert, yeah. I want to ask you about that swinging that bat, being the switch hitter that you were. Were you? He still is. I know. Yeah. Were you always that, or did you develop that? Did your pop tell you how to do that? And then how long? And if so, how long did you practice on your weak side? And is that your right side, the weak side?
I'm a naturally right-handed hitter. I started hitting left-handed probably around the age of 8 or 9. And as far as developing goes, just trying to take the same amount of swings on both sides whenever we have practice. But I think at this point, I'm 19. I'm going to be 20. At the end of March, it's just my body's kind of adapted to it, and it's just kind of both sides just feel natural now. But I'm naturally right-handed.
So what determines on how you're going to when you get up to the plate? I think your first two or three plate appearances when we were up there, and again, I'm going back to the Omaha game, you were on the left side, and you came on the right, and I think because of, well, you had your base runners and everything at the time, and maybe the count.
Pitching.
Is that what it all is?
It's all pitching. So okay. If they throw a left-hand pitcher, you face right-handed. It's the opposite side. So if they throw a right-hand pitcher, the opposite side would be left-handed. So I would hit left-handed.
So, all right, last question on that, and then I'm going to get out of your hair. No pun intended. So would you encourage all ball players, those 7, 8, 9-year-old boys, to do that, to make themselves a little bit more valuable and improve their skill set, a little add to that, and work on doing both sides of the plate?
The one thing I would say about switch hitting is it kind of eliminates the breaking ball. Okay, so let's say you're going left on left, and this left-hand pitcher can throw a slider or a breaking ball away from you. That's going to be hard to hit. But if you flip over the other side, that breaking ball is going into your barrel. So it kind of eliminates sometimes the pitcher's best pitch. As far as advocating for younger players to be switch hitters, I don't know, because every body is different, every player is different, and some switch hitters get to a certain point where they just realize they're better on one side, and they just kind of ride that out the rest of their career. Some switch hitters, they say if I ever quit this side, it would ruin my whole career. I remember there was a player named Brian Pena, who was a backup catcher in the big leagues for many, many years. He wanted to quit switch hitting, but he stuck with it. And the reason he stuck with it was because it was all about mashups. So he was able to go up there right-handed versus a left-hand pitcher and get to play that day.
All right, last question on that then. Have you ever switched hit or changed sides in an inning at a plate appearance?
Nope.
Very good.
Nope, I would never do that.
Well, I appreciate you, buddy.
Robert, great stuff as always, buddy. Good luck against UIC, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks, buddy. I do want to thank Sissy's Log Cabin for sponsoring Robert. What an impressive dude he is.
Yeah, he is. Hey, when we come back, got a concert announcement from Simmons Bank Arena.
Another one. Yep. And another